Welcome back to eBay Radio's top-rated seller hour with your host, Griff.
This segment is brought to you by Terapeak, eBay market research to increase your online sales. If there's one thing most eBay sellers quickly learn, it's that it's easier to accumulate inventory than it is to get it listed. And I've got a garage to prove it. In fact, it's all too easy. Here now to tell us how she's winnowing down what she calls her death piles. Oh, Deborah, I'm never going to be able to look at the stuff in my garage ever again. Is Deborah Goitia. Did I say that right?
Yeah, Goitia, I get it, all of it.
Goitia sounds very like French designer. I'm going to stick with that. She's known on eBay as top-rated seller, pinching pesos, all one word. So, Deborah, what is a death pile?
Basically, and that's a term that I actually picked up from other resellers, but it all rings true. It's a pile of items that you set aside for that future date that never comes that you're eventually going to list it. It's just those items that are there, and you're like, oh, I'll list it when I get to it, and they just never.
So what happens to you guys when you go out a thrifting and you've got these death piles all over the place? But are you looking for the thing that you think is going to sell quicker than the death pile things? Or
Well, what I did last year is, I don't know if you guys remember, but I had a list it or forget it challenge because I had this huge backlog of items that needed to be listed, and they'd just been sitting around for sometimes a year or 2 years. And I went on a buying freeze, and I just wasn't going to buy anything else. And so for 7 weeks, all I did was go through these piles and totes of things that had just been sitting around. If I picked it up and put it in my hand, I had to either list it or it was donated. And that helped me work through that. And then after that point, I kind of decided that I needed to stop buying those kind of things. So looking for higher profit margin type of items that you stay excited about and you don't lose interest with as soon as you walk back into your house or your office and chunk it in a death pile.
So did it work?
The listing challenge? The listing challenge, I listed over 225 brand new listings in that 7 weeks, and I worked through everything. It worked in a way that it alleviated that backlog, but what it actually did on the other end of the spectrum is it made me realize that I didn't need to buy those kind of items anymore. My store became 75% what I call smalls. It was $15, $10. And my actual sell price, per item, decreased significantly. It went down $5, $6 on average. And that might not seem like a lot, but when you sell 100 items and your average sell price is decreased by $6, $5, that's $500-$600 you're missing out on. And you're spending the same amount of time listing that $10 item as you would have if you would have just went out and bought something new.
So give us some ideas on some things that you would buy in the past that you won't buy anymore.
Yes, I love those.
Well, I think what ends up happening is when you go to the stores, it's what I tend to call pecking for profits. And I find that the longer that I spend in an actual store, the more I'll bring home things that I probably shouldn't have brought home. Small items like, a coffee cup I can sell for $10, or the stuffed animal I can sell for $12. Or you tend to, the longer that you spend in a store, the more you're going to convince yourself, it's going to be easy to list and I can just list it, no problem. But you end up getting it home, you lose all the excitement about it, it goes over in a pile. Eventually, in a year, you're just donating it right back to the store. So I don't pick up those things anymore. I've been working on staying on the, if you have a set kind of price in your head, like $30 being your minimum. My sell price is minimum $30. Then you know, you pick it up, look it up and complete it. They're only going for $12, $15. I'm going to put that back on the shelf because it's going to take me just the same amount of time to list that $15 item as it's going to take me to list a $30 or $50
item.
So
you learned a lot about your shopping habits.
I did. And I learned that when I put my mind to it, I could list enlist like a crazy person. So now I know when I come home with those better ROI items, you know, higher sell price, I can put the effort in, make more money, have less listings, and I'm working smarter, not harder.
Yeah, but it seems like a no-brainer, but it's just really difficult, I think, for a lot of us when we get into a kind of cadence and rhythm and routine about what it is we buy that we don't stop and think a lot of the times, is it worth it for me to be doing all this work for a $10 profit?
Exactly. And that's a lot of time that you devote to those smaller items, and it really is something that you have to break through that mental state that you have of, well, this is my norm. This is a normal item for me to pick up, for you to just stop doing that.
Yeah.
It's kind of a habit that you just have to break, and it's definitely worth it. You will see the sales numbers increase, and you'll work a lot less.
Lee, Deborah, I have to admit that I'm guilty of that, although I've been changing slowly. I remember back just a few years ago, I was much more promiscuous about the things I would pick off shelves and racks to resell. I pass a lot more stuff by because of that now. Even brand names, I'll pass, you know, some things up that I would have jumped on in the past saying, you know, no, not for $5, not for $10, no, not going to do it.
Yeah, it really is looking at the time that you're devoting. Your time is your money. And when you're devoting that time to a $5 and $10 profit, there's nothing wrong with having a small business. Don't get me wrong.
No, of course not.
It's just a time commitment that you can put somewhere else if you have the sourcing available to you. Some people don't. Some people don't have the opportunities that they can just go out and I'm going to spend 30 minutes at a store and I'm going to find these really great things and leave and it's going to be amazing. You know, some people don't have that, and I understand.
You know, I just got a great idea from something that you said that I'm going to use for myself. I've got tons of the little tiny pins and things that are rhinestones.
Yeah.
You know, a whole bunch of, some people would call them junk rhinestones. You know what I'm going to do, Griff?
What are you going to do?
You know what I'm going to do, Deborah?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to make little groups of them and sell them as little groups to put on people's jean jackets.
A bedazzler.
And their hats. You know how people will wear 2, 3, 4, you know, things that shine on their jean jackets and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make little groups. I bet you I have 20 little groups I can make out of that stuff. Because you can't sell, some of that stuff doesn't sell for much.
No.
No, then that's a great idea. I did that last year where I would take items. I used to accumulate a lot of those fridge phonics. They're little magnet toys that the kids learn alphabets. And I had all of these different ones of them. And they were only selling for 12 or 15 bucks. Well, I decided, no, I'm just going to take all of the letters out of all of the pieces. And I'm going to sell 100 letters at one time, not 5 at a time, but 100 of them at a time. So I got to sell that for $40 instead of selling 4 individual sets for $10 a piece.
Makes sense.
It does make sense.
Absolutely.
So what is your current listing challenge?
Okay, so right now I'm going back on a buying freeze because I have accumulated more items. However, they are higher dollar items, so it's not going to take me as long to work through. I had some life things, and everybody has life challenges. So I had some life challenges, so I've got this stuff accumulated back here, but they're all $30, $40, $50, $60 items, and those are much more fun to list than $5 items. So currently I'm just going to be working through that over the next, probably shouldn't take me more than 2 weeks. And I'm expecting to see a huge increase in sales off of those items hitting my store.
So have you not done any shopping lately?
I haven't done any shopping in the last 2 weeks.
Okay. How about you, Griff?
I have not done any shopping as well. I've been on a freeze.
Didn't you put a little basket on your electric bike?
I put panniers on my electric bike, but I have not been to a Savers or Goodwill in 2 weeks. I've got more than enough right now.
Is this a meeting? Are we having? Hi, I'm Griff, and I overbuy.
And I'm a shopaholic.
I'm an overbuyer.
Yeah, I'm an overbuyer. Right. It's just, it's like Deborah. I mean, death piles is such a great description. And that doesn't necessarily have to mean that there are actually piles on your garage or basement floor. It's just all this stuff that you've had that you haven't listed yet. And you know if you list it, you're going to get some money. I'm going through and there's certain, I'm making bags to take back. So there's stuff in there that it's, you know, maybe a year or two old that, you know, I just don't think I can make a profit on this. I'd rather take the loss from selling it, donating it back and moving on. So that's what I'm going to be doing because I'm much more picky now about inventory.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Deborah.
That's exactly what I learned last year, that I learned that if I would have just taken the time that I spent listing all of those small items and just went out and bought a couple really great items every day, I wouldn't have needed to devote 7 weeks of time, nor would I have, you know, I wouldn't have lost all of that time. I wouldn't have put so much. I was putting in a full eight hours a day listing, and I could have just gone out, bought two, three, four great things and gotten just donated those smalls that I had all racked up. And probably made more money. So it's definitely something to consider on whether or not recuperating that original investment is really worth your time.
This has been another fascinating segment, hasn't it, Greg?
Well, it has. It touches a lot of us, uh-huh. I'm sure, not just me, but a lot of us. It touches home. I mean, it just hits us right where we live. And it's important to be reminded of this on a regular basis.
Well, look at her stuff. She's Deborah Goitia. She's known on eBay as top-rated seller. Pinching pesos. Top-rated seller. Thank you, Deborah.
Deborah, that was great. Thanks so much. This segment was sponsored by Terapeak eBay Market Research to increase your online sales. Dial us now at 888-723-4630. We'll be right back with more of eBay Radio.
When it comes to listing software, you need a tool that really understands how you work and can grow with your business. 6-Bit Software is the natural solution because eBay certified provider John Slocum understands. He's been building software for eBay sellers ever since 1998 when he developed Auction Assistant for his father-in-law. You may already know John as the creator of Blackthorn. 6-Bit is his biggest and best e-commerce tool yet. 6-Bit lets you run your multi-channel business right from your desktop. From listing to shipping to inventory management, there are three versions of 6-Bit, Home and Hobby, Small Business, and Enterprise, so it can grow along with you. And when you need support, John and his team are there for you, just like they've been for years. Auction Assistant worked for John's father-in-law. Now let 6-Bit work for you. Try 6-Bit free for 30 days at 6bitsoftware.com.
Know how much buyers love bargains. Putting items on sale can attract buyers and increase store traffic, so you can make more money while they're saving money. It's a win-win. Campaign Go's Markdown Guru lets you set up a sale in less than 5 minutes. Just click Create New Sale, pick Start and End Dates, plus a discount amount, select filters, and hit the Sale button. Markdown Guru's 12 filters let you choose what you want to put on sale pretty much any way you want, not just by category, price, or individual item. With Markdown Guru, you can filter listings without sales, oldest listings, listing with watchers, and more. You can even combine filters in unlimited ways to suit your inventory. Campaign Go's Markdown Guru comes with sales reports too. So at the end of the day, you can see exactly how much your sales campaign contributed to your bottom line and turn those insights into revenues. Get a 30-day free trial at CampaignGo.com. That's CampaignGo.com.
Selling on eBay can be complicated, but the right third-party tools and services can help. Check them out under the Seller Resources tab in the eBay Radio Archives. You'll find apps and information ranging from bookkeeping and financing to listing design, product sourcing, research, shipping, social media, and more. Visit the Seller Tools and Services page in the eBay Radio Archives. Seller Tools and Services, helping you succeed in your business on eBay.
Selling is your business, but you can't sell without knowing how much items are worth and, more importantly, how much they're likely to sell for. Find out at WorthPoint.com, the largest online resource for researching the value of your art, antiques, and collectibles. There are over 200 million sales records, so you can find your item, figure out what it's worth, and price it to sell. Check it out for yourself. Visit WorthPoint.com and register for a 7-day, 7-lookup free trial. WorthPoint. Find it, value it, price it. We'll be right back.